Today's responsive reading came from Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 to 12. So may I invite you to take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 to 12, and follow along with the following comments. Verse 1 starts, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice?" Chapter 8 deals with wisdom. But as you continue to read the rest of chapter 8, with that in mind, that wisdom is the main thought, you will eventually draw the conclusion, or I believe you ought to draw the conclusion, that wisdom is eventually personified in a person who is going to come and to give to the nations and to the world the wisdom from on high. And that person is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one of the things about the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs is something that is called Hebrew parallelism. And I've taught this to the church. I have made numerous reference to it. So let's examine how that works. For instance, look at verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry? And there's the question mark for the punctuation. So that's the first part of verse 1. And then verse 2 says, and understanding put forth her voice. Notice how Hebrew parallelism causes you to understand the meaning of the words that are used. For instance, wisdom in the first part of the verse answers to or defines or modifies the word understanding in the second part of verse 1. And the word cry or doth not cry is explained or defined by the term put forth her voice. See that? So you don't need to go find yourself a dictionary to unlock the meaning of the words that are being used. For instance, look at verses 9, speaking about wisdom. They are all plain to him that understandeth, comma, and right to them that find knowledge. Okay? So the word plain and the word right define each other, complement each other. To him that understandeth is modified or explained by the phrase, them that find knowledge. And so when you understand, this is found very, very extensively in the Psalms at times, but in many of the Proverbs, you will find this parallelism between the first part of the verse followed by what comes after, or the second part of the verse. And to me, it's kind of fun just to take time and to explore and to find these things on your own. Look at verse 5. O ye simple, understand wisdom. So that's the first part of verse 6. No, verse 5, excuse me. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Okay, so how does this work out? O ye simple modifies ye fools. Understanding wisdom, be ye of an understanding heart. So, I share that with you so that you yourself, when you're going through, for instance, the book of Proverbs, kind of slow down your reading pace and see whether you can identify the parallelisms that are found. Okay? Look at verse 10. Receive my instruction and not silver. Okay? That's part one. Part two reads, and knowledge rather than choice gold. So, instruction and knowledge modify each other. Right? Not silver, rather than choice, silver is then modified or bumped against choice gold. And so I share that with you, not to impress you, but to give you some insight in this particular style of Hebrew writing, where definition and exposition is provided even in the very same verse itself. But notice, going back to verse 5, wisdom is needed for those of us who are simple and those of us who are fools. Man by nature is very simple-minded and a fool when it comes to his knowledge of the true, the only true and living God. None of us enter into this world with an innate knowledge of the Almighty. Now, there is a sense within all men that there is a God. All you got to do is look at every culture that encompasses the globe, and just about, if not all cultures, are worshipers of something. Man is a very religious creature, and God made him that way. We are to worship, but we are to worship the true and living God. We're not to be worshiping idols, sticks and stones, statues, things of that nature. But in the Western world, we're a bit more sophisticated. We worship things like power, military might, and financial abilities. We worship these particular objects. We make them into our gods. And people will literally wear down their bodies in worship to one of these entities, whether it be power, whether it be military strength, or whether or not it's silver, gold, and cash in the bank. Okay? When we come into this world, we need to seek after the true and living God. We are told to seek after Him. And if you truly seek Him with all of your heart, He says He will be found. And one way that we find who is the true and living God is by this book that we use and read and preach from, the Scriptures. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Man by nature, when it comes to his knowledge of the true and living God, he is simple-minded, and in many respects he plays the fool, because he will substitute the true and living God with something else. The God of his own wicked imagination, or the God of power, or the God of finance, or the God of military might and power. And so, beloved, it behooves all of us, whether you're a pagan or whether you're a saint, acquiring the knowledge and the understanding of the Most High never stops after one salvation. That journey just begins. When a person goes from being a pagan to a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that just starts the journey. Doesn't end the journey, but that begins the rest of your days, a journey of walking with the Lord, being in His Word, fellowshipping with His people, being attached with a good solid church family, and using all of those available means at your disposal that God gives to you. Your knowledge and your journey in this knowing of the Lord, wisdom and things of that nature will then begin to blossom. And you in turn will blossom and bloom with fruit, with good works. And eventually, whatever calling God calls you to do, whether it's preaching, whether being a missionary, whether being a doctor, a teacher, whatever, that knowledge of the Most High will enhance your life and in turn cause you to enhance the lives of others who are truly in need. So may the Lord richly bless you. Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? And the obvious answer is yes. And notice how wisdom answers her own question. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entering of the city, at the coming in unto at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. So there's no excuse. Wisdom cries daily. And notice where she can be found. In the high places, in the places of the pathway, in the city gates, in the entering of a city, in the coming in into one's house. Unto you, O men, notice, wisdom is the one that's calling. We don't, you know, man does not call unto the name of the Lord until first God calls him. Notice, I call. Notice, the calling comes from heaven to earth. And my voice is to the sons of man. And what is that voice? The word of God. Faithfully read, faithfully preached, faithfully applied to the heart and minds of men. So, beloved, there's no excuse. Wisdom is all around us. The question is, do we have the eyes to see her and the ears to hear her? Well, may God choose to bless his work. Amen.